nation has been guilty of is we've lost the amazement of the blessings of God on our lives. And was a time shortly after you got saved, man, every little thing God done for you, you'd fall on your face and say, Lord, I don't deserve this. But if we're not careful, over time, we'll get the place where we lose the wonder of it and the amazement of it. Boy, I'm so thankful. I'm still amazed that he'd be good to somebody like me. And I appreciate him for it. Let's go back to Matthew 27 this morning. Say, preacher, how much longer are we going to be in this? Well, I suppose we ought to be preaching Matthew 27, Calvary, every time we come together. And this will be our, if I got it counted right, this will be our seventh message on the miracles of Calvary. And boy, this has been the hardest one to study. And we're going to try to get it out this morning best we can, if the Lord will help us. Go ahead, sissy. Amen, sister.
I deserve nothing, but he's so good. He's such a wonderful, merciful God.
Yeah, he is.
Such a wonderful, merciful God. You know, he let me be born in America, and that I am so thankful. This is the best country.
Amen. Too.
For a good home and a wonderful husband, but most of all, Pastor, I'm thankful for God's mercy that's new every day.
Hallelujah.
In my life. I'm thankful.
Amen.
When this old flesh falls on its face, he tells me to get up and go forward. I'm thankful. You know, I've been dwelling on that message that you preached on Wednesday from mountain to mountain that we're going through. And
yeah.
You know, I've had to tell God this week, I'm thankful for that valley, because you know you don't see many streams on the mountaintop.
Right.
There's restoring water in that valley.
Amen.
There's greenery in that valley. There's
That's right.
Rest for your soul in that valley. And I'm thankful that even though it's a valley, that God's put some things there.
Amen,
in that
sister. Missed it bad.
I have missed it. He is so much higher. He is so much higher.
Lofty one.
And he is so much higher.
Yeah, man.
Than we could ever imagine. And not his praise his holy name.
Amen. He's the high and lofty one. Amen. He's the Lord. Anybody else? Amen. All righty. Matthew 27. Stand with me then. And you pray for me now this morning. We'll not be long. I mean that this morning. We'll not be long because we don't want to be late to the funeral home here in just a bit. But we still got an hour and a half before we got to be there. Amen. So, amen. Depends on what you think's long this morning. All right. Matthew 27. Ain't you thankful for Calvary, the cross, the place Jesus gave his life and shed his blood? I'll not take the time to read all this morning. Let's pick up our reading in verse number 45. Again, the Bible said, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Let's pray together, and we'll continue our thought here on the miracles of Calvary. Father, we love you this morning. Father, my heart's overwhelmed, and Lord, it's been running over this morning at the thought of, Lord, the cross of Jesus, and Lord, all that you've provided, and Lord, just the thought that you've let us be saved, and Lord, have let us safe thus far, and Father, we've got heaven to look forward to and a good life this morning. Father, I bless your name today, Lord. It's not in us, but unto thee that we give glory, and Lord, that we give praise and worship today. Father, you've been so far better to us than we've ever deserved. Father, Lord, if you never blessed us again, Lord, we could. Lord, as the Henson sang last Sunday around here, we could shout from now to the end just over where you brought us from. And Lord, all that you've done for us, Lord, to this moment. Father, I pray now, Lord, for the next few moments, Lord, I do want to ask you for one thing. Father, would you fill me, Lord, with the power of God? Father, would you give me wisdom, Lord, to communicate? Father, there's not much, Lord, to hang on to here, what we want to preach from today. And so, Lord, I pray you'd make it alive. And God, I pray, and Lord, we'd be stirred in our heart over the power of the cross, said the power of a resurrected Savior. And Father, all that you do, Father, we'll bless you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We've been preaching these weeks of the scene of Calvary, and that place where God sent his only begotten Son into the world to give his life and to shed his blood for our sin. And I don't know about you, but in these weeks of preaching it and in my own study, and I hope as we've communicated and preached it to you, that my heart has been overwhelmed at the scene, that understanding that all that took place that day, amen, it wasn't man that brought it to pass, as the sovereign hand of the Holy God that was looking beyond our fault and seeing our need and said there's no other way that they can be saved than an old rugged cross, Seth, and the shed blood and the dead body of the Son of God. And I'm thankful for Calvary today. I'm thankful as I read and I study in that. We're mindful this morning that God did some miracles that day that testify to you and testify to me that God is behind the scene and that God is at work. And we dealt with the miracle of fulfilled scripture. How that my friend over and over in the scene of Calvary, the gospel writers, began to use a phrase such as that, this was done that the scripture might be fulfilled, and that was done that it might be done and accomplished that was prophesied by the prophets of old. And what a miracle we say in Calvary today, that God reminds you and I in Calvary, in the power of the cross, and the word of God is sure, and that the Son of God can save it, and that the plan of God for our life, my friend, is special. This morning we can think about the miracle of a forgiven sinner, the old repentant thief, and how that he turned to the Lord, guilty and condemned to death, deserving of the cross on which he hung, deserving, my friend, the hell that he was headed to. And yet he turned in faith and repentance and said, Father, he said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Got saved in the 11th hour of life. I got saved, amen, on his deathbed. Amen, the miracle of miracles said at Calvary, sinners are forgiven, and they who are guilty are saved. same death by the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus. This morning we're mindful of the miracle of the fading sun in the darkness of Calvary. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the earth, and there in that hour, God darkened the sky, my friend, and brought fear into the hearts of men. In that hour, a son of God, my friend, was taking upon himself all the sin and drinking the bitter cup. All the dregs of sin, all the wrath of God, was bestowed upon him in them 3 hours of time. And the sun was darkened, signifying that Jesus, my friend, had come to deal with our sin. Amen. There's the miracle in a failing sanctuary as the veil is rent from the top to the bottom. If the miracle, the fading sun, Christ is dealing with our sin. Amen. I'm glad that oil curtain being torn and the miracle in a failing sanctuary identifies that the Lord was dealing with the law. And God, he dealt with my sin at Calvary. Amen. And at Calvary, he dealt with the law. I'm not under its penalty anymore. Oh, I've been saved and have tasted and found that the power of the cross is indeed real and life-changing. Thank God today for the miracles of Calvary. Now, last week we dealt with that miracle of the foundation shaking, and we dealt with how God reached down and shook the earth, and then, thank God, it testifies again of the power of the cross in the Lord Jesus. Had been a lot of men died Golgotha's Hill, and a lot of men that had died before Jesus at Mount Calvary, but my friend, that day, amen, there's a man dying unlike any other man. The God man came to give his life, and the Lamb of God, his blood being slain there, amen, God reached down and said, "That's him, that's him," and ushered in the dispensation of the good grace of God. Ain't you glad today for grace? It flows from the blood of his cross. And today I want to deal with this miracle of it takes place in verse 52 and in verse number 53. Now, I've asked around the church and I've asked some other preachers about these verses. And I've been in church my whole life. I'll be 36 here and just a short amount of time. And I've been in church literally all but 6 months of my life. And Brother Dane, I've been thinking back for weeks now and trying to study this passage and trying to think of somebody that has dealt with this text. If I've ever heard anybody preach on it, I'll be honest, I don't remember this morning. I've asked other preachers and all of them have said, I've never preached from that aspect of Calvary. And from them verses, I've gone to commentaries. And one thing that's sad about commentaries, I'm offended, is that when you come to a passage and you just having a hard time understanding it, amen, you can go to some other good men of God to try to find out what they say about it. And guess what? They don't know what it means either. They just skip on over it and leave you hanging. Amen. And that's kind of where we find ourselves this morning. But I've been meditating on this morning. I want to deal with this miracle. It's really in connection with the earthquake that took place. The Bible said in verse number 51, the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And we preached on that. But as that earthquake is going on, the Bible said in verse 52, and the graves were opened. That is, my friend, that's a part of the miracle of the foundation shaking, is that when the rocks were being rent and the earth was being shook, and my friend, out in the graveyard, the graves said were bursting open and big. My friend, unlocked. And what a great scene and a miracle that in itself would have been. And we believe that deals things with the power of the cross. I'll show you in a moment how that the power of the cross and that earth shake it. And my friend, it opened up the graves that was upon earth. You say, how many graves were open? Well, I think all the graves were open. I believe that every place there was a buried individual. And my friend, them graves were open. The power of the cross was on display that day. But the Bible said, and though they were all open, the Bible said, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. And the Bible went on to say that they went in the holy city and appeared unto many. And so we're dealing with this miracle of the graves being opened and the sepulchers being opened up. And though maybe I'm wrong this morning, though they were all opened up, there were a select few. There were many bodies of the saints that were favored, that was given life, restored back to them upon the third day when Christ was raised from the dead. Now this morning, let me draw your attention several things, and we'll be done this morning. This miracle, I call it, this miracle at Calvary, the miracle of the favored sepulchers. A miracle of the favored sepulchers. Consider the mention of this miracle this morning. When you began to study the gospel accounts of Calvary, here's what you find, Brother Dad, that many of them deal, that all four of them deal with some events and all the events together. And then there's some that maybe Matthew and Mark would mention, that and Luke and John would not mention. And most of the time, if you read something in Matthew, there's another gospel writer that would make mention of the same thing. We come to Matthew 27 in verse 52 and 53, and the mention of this miracle, you've got to understand, and Matthew is the only one of the gospel writers that deals with it. And so there's not a lot said about it. In the verses we've read today is all that we know about as far as the gospel account is concerned. And the scene of Calvary, there's just a real blip, if you will, mention of this miracle in the scripture. One author that I read after said that was a miracle in itself. And my friend, this took place. He said, and by the way, this miracle happened just like the rest of them did. Hey man, you say you really don't believe that. I believe this like I believe he got Lazarus out of the grave. And I believe this like I believe he raised the little boy down there in the city of Nate. Hey man, up off the bear. And I believe, hey man, this like I believe he raised up Jairus' daughter from the grave. Hey man, you better believe that I believe it. Hey man, even though it's only mentioned, but then one time I believe it happened just like the Bible said. I found an interesting verse, and you know this verse, but I believe that the Lord has shed some new light on this verse in my heart this morning as it relates to what you and I are studying this morning. You understand in the mention of this miracle, he gives the timeline. And at Calvary, when Christ gives up the ghost in the darkness of the air, the veil is rent, the earth shakes, and the earth shaking, the graves are open, and then 3 days later, ain't God, the Son of God's getting up. And when he gets up, the Bible said 3 days, amen, after his resurrection, there was another crowd that got up with him because he raised, amen, his dead body was raised. There were others that followed along with it. Now consider this verse. You know in Isaiah 26 and 19, the Bible said, thy dead men shall live. Now he's writing to the nation of Israel. He's dealing with the people that have passed stop, and their faith has been in the Lord. They followed him, and he's given a promise to Israel. He said, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. In other words, now listen, I've always heard that preached as a resurrection verse, a rapture verse, and no doubt that it deals with that. And it, my friend, is something that, my friend, you and I have to look look forward to. Did you catch that word? It? He said, together with my dead body shall they arise. It's a prophecy, I believe, Brother Jared, of the events that we're reading about. And God is saying, you don't understand it all. Amen. He wrote over in Isaiah 53 about a slain lamb and talking about his son dying. And then he was coming, but I'm glad he gave the promise to Israel that he's going to get up together with my dead body. When my dead body is raised, there'll be life given to them of the faith, there'll be life restored to them, and they will awake and rise together with my dead body. Am I making sense? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Oh, consider the end of the verse. He said, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. Amen. In other words, on that third day, our graves was opened by the power of the cross. Amen. But by the power of his resurrection, Jesus called to them many saints and said, it's time to rise. It's time to wake up. Amen. They said, you're dead, but you ain't dead. You just been sleeping. And together with my dead body, you're coming up. And in that morning, listen now, on that morning, they were singing. There was shouting. There was praises being given. Amen. To the Lord. A lamb had died. A lamb had risen. And together with his dead body, they was raised up. Far as I know, this is a prophecy of the mention of the text that we have in the Gospel of Matthew. Consider this morning, and just briefly, I'm gonna wind up preaching an hour and a half, but Charlie, if I ain't careful, I don't know about y'all, I feel good this morning. Amen. Consider the mystery. We see the mention of the miracle. Consider the mystery of the miracle. All we know about this miracle, we have in an Old Testament prophecy, and we have in this New Testament passage in the Gospel of Matthew. In two verses, we're told that when the earth shook, the graves were opened, and that, my friend, 3 days later, many of the dead bodies of the saints of God raised and went into Jerusalem. And appeared unto many and were a witness, of the power of the cross. Now consider this today. We don't know a lot of things about this passage of Scripture. We don't know if it was all the saints. The Bible said it was many. After him, we don't know who it was. We don't know how long they had died. Some have said and suspected that it would have been those that had died in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We don't know that. He could have raised up Abraham from the grave and sent him into Jerusalem. Somebody said that had been impossible. They wouldn't have known who that he was. Well, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of God fell, and Moses and Elijah showed up, and Peter and James and John had never seen them. Amen. But when they was there, God opened their eyes and let them see who them saints of God were. And so we understand that we don't know. It's just a mystery. We don't know who that it is that has been raised. We don't know what happened to them after that. My friend, they were raised. Did they die again? Did they have to go by way of the grave again? Or were they taken on into heaven? I believe I've got the answer to that. There is a shadow over it and a mystery, my friend, surrounding this miracle. And so there'll be a lot of things I can't say today because it is a mystery. Consider this today. I want to draw your attention to the manifestation in this miracle. The Bible said, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Who say, what do you mean by the manifestation in this miracle? I mean that, my friend, their graves were open at the death of Christ and the earth being shook and the veil being rent. Their graves are opened up. 3 days later, here comes Christ and the keys of death and hell. Amen. And the blood of himself headed to the right hand of the throne of God to present his blood at the mercy seat in heaven. And that friend, here he comes. He is, according to Paul, the first fruits of the resurrection. That's our Savior. Are you listening? Amen. These saints could not get up until the Lord got up. They could not be raised until he was raised. He's the first fruit. fruits of the resurrection. And so his body is raised. Hey, amen. Laid his life down and he picked it back up. Amen. They thought that they killed it, but he gave up the ghost. And on the third day, praise God, Brother Tim. Amen. He took it back unto himself. Amen. One old country preacher said, amen. He grabbed death by the throat and kicked the devil in the mouth. Amen. There wasn't nothing death could do about it. And of his own power, and of his own authority, Jesus became a first fruits of the resurrection. And when the captain of their salvation said, amen, after he had been to the cross, after he came up out of Hades, amen, in victory and in power, amen, them saints and God who have been kept in captivity are now marching behind him, and they're following the Lord of salvation. He sends them with a message, and the manifestation is this. Amen. You say, preacher, why this miracle? We don't know much about it, and in some regards, again, it's a mystery. But here's what I think today. Now, you can think something else, and I don't know which of us would be right. But I mean, the Lord for 33 and a half years had testified, I'm the Son of God. He had testified to them that he was the way, the truth, and the light. He had testified to them he was the light of the world. He testified to them that no man could come to the Father but by him. John the Baptist on the sea, on the banks of Jordan testified that this is the Lamb of God which taken away the sin of the world. And day after day they rejected him. He came to his own received him not. They didn't believe him to be the Messiah. They didn't believe him to be the King. They didn't believe him to be the Lord of glory. Amen. They got mad when he said, I before Abraham was, I am. And now they've taken his leg. They've laid him in a grave the third day. He raises from the dead. And these graves have been opened. And he causes these sleeping saints after him to be manifested in the holy city. And the Bible said they appeared unto many. What are they doing? I believe this now. And that the purpose for this miracle is that they was to go back and be a witness to lost Israel that Jesus was who he said he was. I believe, my friend, listen, if old Abraham was there, he walked through the holy city and he said, he told you he was I am. He said that he saw, and I saw his day and rejoiced in it. Amen, it is the way that he said it was. Amen, if Moses wasn't walking around, amen, old Moses would say, oh yeah, he's the rock. Amen, that followed us in the wilderness. He is the great I am. If old King David's running around, he said, oh yeah, he is my strength. He is my buckler. He is my fortress. He is my salvation. There's a manifestation of, amen, in this miracle, and God is letting all Israel know that Jesus is who he said he was. Son, can I tell you today, he is who he said he was. I don't know how much further I'm going to get. I'm about to jump through that window, Brother Jack. I'm glad he is who he said he is. He said, I'm the bread sent from heaven. You say, you don't believe that. I believe that. Them old saints got up out of the grave, went in the holy city, and said, I'm telling you, he's the bread, amen, sent from heaven, just like that he said he was. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. Hallelujah. You say, who is Jesus to you? Jesus is everything he said he was. He's wonderful. Oh, Isaiah. Hey, maybe Isaiah's one of them saints that got up and he said, I told y'all 600 years ago, amen, his wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, mighty God, Prince of Peace, and he's everything that he said he was. They are the witnesses sent back into Israel one more time. Tell them you didn't receive him, you didn't accept him, you put him to death, you crucified the Lord of glory, but he was who he said he was. Amen. The manifestation, notice the might of this miracle. The Bible teaches you and I that at Calvary, when the Lord gives His blood and lays down His life, commends His Spirit to the Father, and the earth begins to shake. And my friend, we know that to be the power of the cross, the night of this miracle, amen, when this earthquake takes place, amen, literally it is the power of the cross that is opening up these graves. It's making a way out of death. It's making a way, my friend, out of the graveyard. It's making a way from the, amen, from the bondage of death garments. Are you listening? And the power of the cross shook that day and made a way out. And it's 3 days later, it's the power of the cross and the power of His resurrection. Amen. The power of the cross, thank God for it. Amen. But the power of the cross is made of no avail without the power of the resurrection. Amen. Listen, we're thankful today for the cross. And the might of this miracle is that, amen, there is made available to this crowd that's in the graveyard, these favored sepulchers, who the power of the cross and the power of His resurrection, He's able to bring them out of the graveyard. And I say today, thank God for the power of the cross. Thank God today I know something about the power of the cross. Amen. We've been saved today because of the blood of His cross. Amen. But we've been, amen, raised to new life and have a change on the inside because of the power of His resurrection. That leads me to my last point today, and it's really where I want to get to. Amen. Listen, we see the mention, the mystery. We see the manifestation. We see the make. But I want to deal with the messages from this miracle. Amen. There's some practical things that I think, amen, maybe will stir our heart as it relates to this miracle of Calvary and the power of His cross and the power of His resurrection. Number one, I think there's a message of regeneration. They're in the graveyard. They're graveyard dead. And I know they're saints, but amen, there's a day they took their last breath and was put in a cave or lowered down in a hole, and they were buried their dead. Listen to me. I heard it said, I couldn't say it no better than how I heard it this week. Over at the meeting, Brother John Morgan said, amen, we don't believe any of the 5 points of Calvinism, and we don't even believe in total depravity. What about that? Amen. Now, we do believe that man is totally depraved. We believe man is worse than totally depraved. He's not just depraved, he's dead. He's in the graveyard. He's out there and he's bound by sin. He's bound by a fleshly nature. He carries, amen, through life, amen, the garments of death and grave clothes. Just like old Lazarus when the Lord said, amen, Lazarus come forth. Amen, they had to roll the stone away and out comes Lazarus and he said, loose him and let him go. And that's a picture of a sinner, even of these that are at the scene of Calvary whose grave are open. Amen. You know what the power of the cross and the power of His resurrection does? It provides the power needed, amen, for sinners to be regenerated by the power of the cross and the power of His resurrection. I'm glad today, thank God, that the Lord is teaching us, amen, through the power of the cross, amen, it don't matter how, amen, dead you are, dead's dead, amen. It don't matter if you're dead in a church or dead on a bar stool, amen. Dead is dead, amen. But we learn from this and through the cross and the power of the resurrection that sinners can be made alive. Amen. They're brought into a new life. Amen. Ain't you glad for the day? I sleep about it this morning. I said, amen. I woke up and looked at my clock. It was 4:17 this morning. And I thought, man, I sure do want to go back to sleep. I'm awful tired. I'm run to death. Been rode hard and put up wet. And the Holy Ghost wouldn't leave me alone. Amen. And got me thinking about being saved. Got me thinking about Calvary and thinking about the day. Amen. An old dead sinner. Amen. I went down an old dead sinner on my knee. Amen. September the 14th, 1996. Amen. At about 4:20 that morning. Amen. I went to Calvary by faith. I tapped in the power of the cross. Amen. Felt the power of His resurrection and was born again by the grace of God. This miracle of the favored sepulchers, these graves being opened and them being given life, it's a message of regeneration. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again." Amen. You've got to have new life regenerated in you. If you're saved today, you're dead. If you're lost today, you're dead. If you're lost today, you're headed to hell. Amen. There's not a whole lot you can do about it except look up and beg for mercy. Amen. But I'm glad to report to you that when poor men cry, the Lord hears them and he runs to them and begs. Amen. Not your ability, but the power of his cross and the power of his resurrection. Amen. He changes lives today. You say, "I want to be saved. How do I get saved?" You get to Calvary as quick as you can. Amen. You don't get it in the baptismal pool waters. Amen. I ain't going to finish this today. Calf, you don't get it joining the church. You don't get it, my friend, turning a new leaf. You don't get it by being good. Amen. 2,000 years ago, amen, God planted an old wooden rugged cross and hung his son on it and bled him out and laid your sin there. Amen. And he died. He that was the life of men died that day. And dead men may be regenerated and born again of the power of the cross and his resurrection. It's a message of regeneration. Does that make sense? Message of regeneration. Number two, I think there's a good message in there on revival. These are saints, but they're dead. They done died. Amen. Are y'all listening? That's about like some of the crowd I'm preaching to. You're saved, but you're... Amen. You're not positionally dead. You're just practically dead in your Christian life. Amen. They done give up the ghost. They got no life in them. Amen. They're not worshiping anymore. Their hands are not able to be raised anymore to the Lord of glory. They're not able to hear what he has to say. Amen. What are they? They're dead. There's something said about that over there in the New Testament about being twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Amen. I know when we got saved, we got life that's never ending, eternal life. Amen. Positionally, thank God I'm alive and shall be forevermore. Amen. But listen, spiritually, amen, in your Christian walk with God, it's possible, amen, that you and I would find ourselves in a place, practically speaking, or we begin to die on God. You know what this miracle tells me? The hope for you today, again, is the power of his cross and the power of his resurrection. Amen. You say, but preacher, I done got a cold on God. Amen. That's what a dead man does. Amen. He gets cold. Amen. Amen. A dead man, it ain't long. It don't take long when he's dying. In fact, while he's dead, you can put your hand over on a dead man and his temperature's dropping. He begins to get cold. He begins to get stiff. Rigor mortis sets in. He's got no movement. He's got no smile. He's got no joy. Amen. That's where these saints are when the cross touched them and the power of his resurrection touched them. There was a revival given to the saints of God. Amen. I say we need desperately a revival in our day. And it ain't a revival, my friend, of outward things. It's a revival of letting the power of his cross touch our life again. Amen. It's a revival that's needed where, amen, his resurrection power begins to touch our life again. Amen. Can I share a verse with you that I think that, and listen, now, you can not believe me, you can think different, and I do about that. Isaiah 26:19 being a prophecy of Matthew 27:52-53. Now, if you got another idea about that, I'd like to hear it. Can I show you a verse where that verse is quoted to the New Testament child of God? Ephesians 5:14. The Apostle Paul, he's talking about writing to the church, writing the saved, writing the saints of God. And they've done got the place they've got worldly. They've done got the place they're eat up with flesh and carnality, living in darkness, walking in darkness. And listen, they're saved. They just ain't doing right. And so he said in verse 14, Ephesians 5, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." That's a quote from Isaiah 26:19. Amen. Can I tell you what we need today? We need some folk to rise out of sleep. Oh, you're saved, but you done fell asleep. Amen. Preaching don't mean what it used to mean to you. And godly living don't mean to you today what it used to mean to you. And the church, I mean, man, you done got cold and stiff. Amen. You've lost your joy and your smile. Amen. Can I say Christ says, amen, what you need to do, amen, is get a hold of the cross and cling to its power and walk in that resurrection power, and Christ will give you reviving life again. I know the context. I'm preaching application. I'm telling you, if you're going to have revival today, it'll come through the cross and His resurrection. Amen. I got news for you. You can get cold on God, die on God, sitting on a Baptist church pew. You need revival and still be singing in the choir. You need revival, ma'am, and still be wearing a skirt every day of your life. Yeah, man, you can stay out of the honky-tonks and you still may need the power of His cross and the power of His resurrection to touch you again in revival. The power of His cross and resurrection, there's a message of regeneration, a message of revival. One more, Brother Charlie, don't get nervous. We're going to have time to get there. The message, there's a message of resurrection. Amen. Praise the Lord. I ain't even going to preach it. You know what I'm thankful for? I've done had to go to the graveyard and put some friends and some good old saints of God who were family members in the grave. Got old granddaddy over there just outside of in Asheboro, North Carolina, over there at the Bethel Baptist Church graveyard. Put his body out there, Brother Dane, a few years ago. My old grandma, bless her heart, she's about grieved herself right in the grave alongside of him. Last few years, she'll be in town. She'll go out there, Brother Tim, and she'll sit at that grave and she'll just weep and cry. She misses him so bad. Over 40 years of their life, they traveled up and down the roads, hundreds of thousands, if not a million or more miles. They traveled the roads of America, traveling, serving the Lord together. They'd sing together. Granddaddy'd preach, and revivals would break out, and sinners would get saved. All them years, and now, amen, she's been left behind. And she's traveling what little bit she can on her old feeble legs, little old cane, bring her guitar in. Her and Dad will still travel when she's able to go, and she'll get up and sing. But it ain't the same in her heart. She misses old Granddaddy, and I miss him. But 2,000 years ago, God planted a cross. It opened up some graves. Amen. All over the world, they's trying to close them graves up and they's burying their loved ones all over again. Some on these days, the Lord Himself, the one who went to Calvary and rose up and is the first fruit of the resurrection. Paul put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 4, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. It's all messed up and wondering, is there any hope? Thank God a cross was planted and from that cross came power. Amen. That one of these days that power of the cross is going to open up their grave and the power of it. Listen to this. Amen. The power of the cross opened the grave. It was the power of His resurrection that got them out. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I'm thankful for? Amen. 18 years ago, my grave got open. God made a way out through the power of the cross. Amen. Made a way out that one of these days, by the power of His resurrection, He's going to make a way up. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you today, that miracle in Calvary testifies at the resurrection we've yet to experience as God's children. If He can get them up, if He can bring many of them up, He's just reminding you and I at the dead that those that die in Christ are not without hope. The Lord's going to get them up one day. How are we getting up? We ain't getting up because we're something special. He's going to get us up that day because our lives had been affected by the power of His cross and by the power of His resurrection. Brother Mike, He's going to reach down. He's going to pull us up by the mighty grace of God. The miracle in the favored sepulchers. Ain't you, I guess the message today is this, ain't you glad for the power of the cross? And in connection with the power of His resurrection, there's nothing Calvary can't do for you.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? Boy, I've done as good as I can with what's there, but Gerald, I hope it made sense. I know this, I'm feeling real good right now. I'm about to run to Greenville. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved today. Do you know you're saved? Has the power of the cross and His resurrection ever brought new life to you? If not, today would be a good day to come.
Oh, yes.
Come get in on the miracles of Calvary today. You saw that happen 2,000 years ago, yeah, and it's been happening ever since. Every now and then there'll be old hard-hearted sinner, and God will reach down and shake their heart and open up their grave, amen, and make a way out that they can be set free from sin. The power of the cross. Father, I love You. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You mind the Lord today. It's 12:02 now. Would you mind the Lord? Maybe you're saved. You just need to get on this altar one more time and say, Lord, I want to thank You. I want to thank You. It's the power of the cross that got me out of sin. It's the power of the cross that got me out of my graveyard. Hey, it's the power of the cross. Them old saints, when they was raised up, they didn't walk around the holy city in the grave clothes. Amen. He got them out of the graveyard and He got them out of the grave clothes. Set them free by the power of the cross. Would you come today? Maybe you just need to come say thank You. Maybe today you need revival. You done got cold on God. You done got stiff-necked on God. You've done started walking in darkness and amen, walking according to dictates of the world. You've grown cold on God. Can't worship Him like you used to. Ain't got no joy on the inside. I say today, won't you come make another trip to Calvary, not to be saved, but just to get revival today. Go back to that place where God gave you new life. Let Him wake you up again. Would you do it today? Thank God for the power, the message of the power. His cross, that message of the resurrection. Paul said at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about them dead saints coming up, and we which are alive and remain, being caught up together with them to be with the Lord in the air, to ever be with the Lord in the air. He said there in verse number 18, he said, comfort one another with these words. I got news for you, child of God, because of the cross and His resurrection. We got more to look forward to than just this life alone.